Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm John Ramos, and welcome to VFN TV and the Daily VFN Radio Program, here to encourage you. It's Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
And Steve Kalaszewski.
Good day, sir.
Good day. We want to welcome everyone on the Gulf Coast, all the way from Mississippi to Sandestin. We're glad to be with you every day in your homes, Monday through Friday, 5 p.m. And, of course, we want to welcome all of our VFN radio listeners all across the nation and the world. We have an exciting program today. There's a lot of things happening in the world. You didn't realize that?
Yeah.
A few things. Every day there's something going on, but we're going to be talking about it. And one of the things we're going to be sharing in today's program is regarding Israel and Protective Edge. There is a ceasefire that's about to expire, and we're going to talk about some of the conditions that Hamas has for a ceasefire. Pretty interesting.
Yeah, I bet.
Pretty interesting. We're also going to talk about how anti-Semitism around the world is increasing. And you're also going to hear from Charles Krautheimer from Fox as he shares that it's vogue now in other parts of the world. Not so much in the United States, but he says that a whole generation has forgotten about what happened during Hitler's tyrannical reign. Uh-huh. It's amazing. But it happens. I mean, people forget, they ignore, lies are being shared, and said this generation knows nothing about that. And you're going to see firsthand all that things that are happening around the world against the Jews. We shared about this on VFN TV before, JJ, Jews and Christians, and how the attacks have been increasing and they will continue to increase, and how we need to be informed and prayerful and watchful. Also, we have an update for you on what is occurring with ISIS in Iraq. Some amazing results have happened. The dam has now been taken back, great portions of it from the Kurds, which is huge. Because if it flooded, if ISIS flooded that dam, it would have affected, went all the way down to Baghdad.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
And just, I believe, almost 500,000 people.
So who took it back?
The Kurds.
They took it back?
Yep,
mm-hmm.
took it back.
Very
right?
good.
Yeah, so this is really, really good stuff happening. And the church is involved now in helping so many of the refugees. Mm-hmm. The church has stepped in and said, hey, we're going to do something. We're going to help them. And we have that update for you. But we're excited. Don't forget that we are two programs back to back. And, of course, you can always find more at VFNTV.com. If you haven't visited the site lately, we encourage you to do so because we have so many things there for you. Take a stroll, take a look, spin it around, if you will. Mm-hmm. But you'll find so much there, and it helps you to continue to go and find more of what we discussed on the program. We only have a limited amount of time, so it gives us a chance to get more to you. But let's get right to it, because I really want to share about Benjamin Netanyahu, because Prime Minister of Israel. He says that he is undeterred by Hamas's warning in talks on ending this Gaza war. Mm-hmm. And what happens is that as this war, you know, is stretched out and is prolonged, you're going to continue to see more anti-Semitic statements, more uprisings, more people coming against the Jews. This is not a secret to us. I mean, right now it's popular in some places to be for Israel, but even after a while, you're going to see that popularity wane. And right now, Reuters is reporting that there's a temporary ceasefire. They're trying to negotiate this ceasefire to be permanent. But Hamas, Hamas has some conditions, which I find are quite interesting. one of their conditions is that the blockade that's been instituted by Israel be lifted. Understand that there's a blockade. So that you don't bring weapons into your country. They say, Hamas says it's for, you know, resources and money and all that type of stuff. But, hello.
Yeah, we see what they do with that.
Yeah, tunnels.
Kind of a reason not to have weapons in it.
Tunnels, and we saw what they stole, the cement and all the other type of stuff. I mean, at 32 tunnels, at the price tag of $3 million, that's close to $100 million spent underground to do your enemy harm. Who gave you that piece of property? interesting. Not invested back in the community or in their country or, you know, helping out. It's just crazy. But what's happening is they want that blockade lifted. Israel saying, no, never. The other thing they want is they want establishment of a seaport. No, never. That's not going to happen. Right. You know, because again, they'll have, there's a flotilla allegedly coming somewhere from Turkey with humanitarian aid. And we know what happened the last time a flotilla came around Gaza. There was weapons in it. So no, no establishments or seaport. And then the third one, this is interesting, the third one. They want an airport built. They want a reconstruction of their airport built back. And it's like, no, never. This is not going to happen. And they say this is part. This, they all these have to be completed if they want any of the violence to be stopped.
And they're the ones like, causing the violence.
Hello? Hello? Wow. Isn't that crazy? Amazing. It's like you have this rebellious child going crazy saying, I want my allowance to be increased. I want to be able to take the car whenever I want to, long distance trips, and I want you to fill the gas too. It's like, what? No, no, this is not going to happen. Wow. And that's a light scenario. But these guys are terrorists. They're terrorists. They're waging war against Israel. And even the some of the headlines today are still sympathetic towards Hamas. Not there's a difference between having compassion for the innocent Palestinian people. That is understandable because they're caught in the crossfire. But sympathy for Hamas, a terrorist organization who's been launching rockets into Israel since 2005, over 10,000 rockets, don't think so. When Pastor Dan Livingston of Transformation Church had a chance to go to Israel with 50 other pastors from around the nation to show their support and agreement there with Israel's campaign, they were told that, listen, this is what they've been trying to do from the very beginning. They've been trying to attack all these border areas like Ashkelon, Sherod, and we talked about that. He said most of those people have already left. They've abandoned in Israel. Wow. They've left their cities, and now they're misplaced, and they're trying to find homes. There was a report that said from Bibi's cabinet that said, what do you do when Hamas is, you know, attacking people in Israel, the Israeli citizens, that they lose their homes and they have to be displaced? They said Israel will buy them another house.
Wow.
They will provide for them, you know, housing. It's just amazing what they're willing to do for their people.
Amazing.
You know, when they, the other thing that he said that was quite interesting, he said that when 1,000 Palestinian prisoners were exchanged for one Israeli soldier, they asked him, you know, why would you do such a thing? And he said, for us, an Israeli soldier has a tremendous value. When we will do that, you know, every time, basically. Because it was a question, why would you do such a thing? It's like, no, we leave no one behind, basically.
Wow.
And so, you know, it's amazing the leadership that they have there. And I'm standing with Israel. I know many of you are too, and we are appreciative for that. But Israel does not need to shrink back or cave in or be pushed into, you know, having to make those type of decisions. I don't see right now any way out that this is going to end because these concessions are not going to be made. Israel's not going to cave in. They've made all kinds of statements from saying, that, hey, we're not going to do that. And neither should they. And so we want to be able to continue to pray and be watchful that this comes to an end. And that no longer you're going to have Israelis attacked, hurt, and displaced because of a terrorist organization. I mean, right now, you're not hearing much about Hezbollah. Mm-hmm. You're not hearing much about Iran. I mean, everything's pretty quiet. Mm-hmm. But this can turn on a dime. And so we want to be able to not, you know, hold off of our prayer or get lax, but we want to keep the focus on Israel. We want to keep praying, and we want to pray for the safety of Israel and its people. More when we get right back from this break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Oh.
Are you or someone you know having difficulties hearing? If you answered yes, then maybe it's time to contact the professional staff at Ears to Hear Hearing Center, where they improve the quality of life for the hearing impaired and their families by testing and fitting and dispensing the best hearing aid for the patient's hearing loss, lifestyle, and budget. Three convenient locations on the Gulf Coast to serve your needs. Don't miss one more word. Call today and be on your way to enjoying the gift of hearing.
Does freedom of speech include all social topics and religious views? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
If people are allowed to write books about building illegal weapons and abusing children, which is very illegal, yet we can't express our opinions about being a Christian in school, is freedom of expression and freedom of speech not applying to Christianity?
Well, it does apply to Christianity, and you have the right to share your faith on campus, which gives you the ability to meet in these Bible clubs or to participate in events like See You at the Poll, or to have a prayer and Bible study going on during your lunch hour. You're allowed all of these rights under the Constitution, and no one is in a position to take those away. The only thing that can be put in place is what's called time, place, and manner restrictions. Those have to be very reasonable and very neutral. So if you have any difficulty in that arena, I want you to call our offices here at the ACLJ. We'll get you in touch with our legal department immediately.
For news and information on critical issues, visit the American Center for Law and Justice at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org.
And he came and he was so excited because he found out how to bring God's presence in. He wanted the power of God, the presence of God, who delivered him through all these things. And he's dancing with all of his might. He's dancing and bringing in the Ark of the Covenant. And he's dancing so much and all the flutes and musicians and all the things going on. And he dances literally out of his clothes. And today we would say all he had on was his boxers by the time he had danced. But he was so excited. He didn't care what people thought about him. God is showing me that if we want what Charles had in 1906, we got to believe that. We don't care. The thing that Charles had going for him, people already hated him already. You know, get hated by somebody. Jiminy, they probably do already. They're flattering you. But listen, they hated him already. He was rejected because he was an African-American. And this evilness inside of this nation, the history that happened in this nation, he was over folks already. He didn't care what they said. You need to get over them. I mean, God specifically spoke to me in so many different ways. I mean, you're living, right now we're meeting in this studio that was founded, this community was founded in 1908, the very same time that Azusa Street was being poured out. This community was founded because it was water that was brought here to this particular community. Happened during Azusa Street. I'm going out to spend time with God, and they said, listen, we're going to put you in 1906, the unit. The Holy Spirit says, that's the year Azusa Street happened. I'm like, really? And I go and look, it's like, yeah, it is. And then I'm going there, and then all of a sudden a South African calls me in the place of sabbatical in America, and he tells me what America needs is another Azusa Street, and he begins to pray for me. I'm like, oh my goodness, it's going to happen if we believe.
You've just been listening to a moment from the VFN Dream Center. Find out more. Join the dream at VFNDreamCenter.org. That's VFNDreamCenter.org.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos, and joining us back from the break is Pat and Steve. And we're just giving an update on Operation Protective Edge in Israel. And we are going to continue talking about what is happening around the world. You know, anti-Semitism is still on the rise, and it's interesting, to say the least, what's happening. And the Anti-Defamation League just did a report that basically shows what's happening in Europe. And these are mainly countries outside of the United States. But they say that these attacks and these incidents of hatred have increased dramatically since Operation Protective Edge. They found that there have been violent incidents against Jews and Jewish buildings in Western Europe, South America, Canada, Australia, and Africa. Again, these are reports outside of the United States. We do know there have been some attacks already in the United States, but this is mainly focused outside the United States. They say from France to Argentina, from Canada to Chile, synagogues were attacked, cultural centers have been vandalized. Jewish shops were being threatened and individuals were being beaten on the street. I mean, we reported a rabbi in Miami from I believe Crown Heights, Brooklyn, mm-hmm. was shot and killed walking to his synagogue.
Mm-hmm.
And this is not good. This is not good. And this report says that one of the most frightening incidents occurred in Australia when there were some anti-Semitic teenagers on board of a school bus where Jewish children ages 5 to 12 were riding on the school bus. And this is what one of the parents reports that the teens were coming up to the Jewish children and telling them and chanting them that they're going to slit their throats. They're going to slit their throats.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow. And that Palestine must kill the Jews. That's what they're shouting to five-year-olds. My daughter's four. You know what I mean? Like five-year-olds.
Wow.
Just to understand that level of hatred. And you can't take those things lightly. I mean, we've seen here on the rise children, young people that have been committing heinous murders all around the country.
Mm-hmm.
And we've seen some incidences around the world. And you think, well, hey, well, they were not surprised, but what even made this issue even worse is that they found that school officials basically and they appeared that the police wasn't taking it as serious as, you know, mm-hmm. These parents want them to take it. And so all of these, someone says they're going to slit your throat, I think we need to pay attention,
you know,
especially in this type of environment and what's happening. They say other incidents described in this report, and we're going to make sure that this is available for you on the Torch, that shouts of Jews to the gas at an anti-Israel rally in Germany. I mean, of all places in Germany, they're shouting Jews to the gas. And if you don't know this, if you don't know the history, because we didn't hear from Charles Krautheimer from Fox, that's what Germany did during Hitler's reign. They mm-hmm. gassed the Jews. Horrific. I remember introducing this to my son. In fact, the two things that I was talking to my son one time about was what happened to the Jews and what happened to Martin Luther King Jr. And mm-hmm. just two different instances. But I remember his shock on his face. He was very young at the time. And he says, that really happened? Mm-hmm. And that many people? Mm-hmm. 6 million Jews were killed. And they have, you've seen videos and we've seen them. I've been to the Holocaust Museum in Israel and in New York. And in Israel, there's a room where all the names are being read, I guess, mm-hmm. of all the people that passed away. I think that's the one in New York as well. But I mean, it's just horrific. Open graves where thousands upon thousands of Jews were just thrown their bodies in there. It's just mm-hmm. absolutely horrible. But it seems like there's a whole generation in Europe that doesn't know, doesn't remember, has forgotten, or ignores mm-hmm. the travesty of what happened.
It's not just in Europe, too. The sad thing is what you're talking about. Of all the things that have happened, of the 6 million Jews that were killed, it's just as equally horrific as the fact that is just literally being taken out of the history books. And not only, like you're saying, generation doesn't know, they're not being told at all,
mm-hmm.
is that it's just being simply omitted. Yeah. And that's the horrific part of it.
Mm-hmm. That's absolutely right. Also, there's a Spanish newspaper, El Mundo, in which a column of state, listen to this, Gaza operation showed why Jews have been so frequently expelled. What is surprising is that he persists, either they are not good or someone is poisoning them. This is all this just hate, all this mm-hmm. hate towards the Jews. An op-ed that was widely, being printed and sent out by a Colombian weekly magazine, Simona, arguing that the Palestinian land has been occupied since 3,000 years ago when the Jews arrived there, escaping from Egypt with Moses and Joshua, cutting heads and foreskins off local inhabitants. Like, where do y'all get this from? Where do y'all get this? This is a Colombian newspaper, which is not surprising because according to Open Doors Ministry, mm-hmm. Colombia is ranked like in the top 20s now for a country that has the most persecution of Christians. So it stands to reason that maybe that would come out of that nation. But this is what you're seeing all over the place. The report releases a survey that shows that 25% of people polled in 100 countries hold deeply seated anti-Semitic attitudes. 25% out of 100 countries. And my question is, a country that has 8.7 million people in it, smaller than the state of New Jersey, the size of Ecuador, I believe, who in the last 60 years has contributed greatly to society in general with their inventions, a country that is the only democracy in the Middle East, what could they possibly have done to cause you to be anti-Semitic towards them? 25% in 100 countries? Like, what did they do to you in Colombia? I mean, what happened in France?
Yeah.
You know, nothing. You're just seeing this whole thing. It's just, it's a war.
Mm-hmm.
It's a war against the Jews. And I mean, it's just, you look at it and you say, man, is this like, is this for real? You look at it, he's like, it's for real. It really is for real.
When you look at this, it's like, when you see, like you're saying so significantly, how has Colombia, how has these nations so far from Israel had this so significant one-sided perspective? And I think what is so important to remember is one of the previous ambassadors of Israel had stated the fact in response to the conflict of Hamas and Israel. He said Hamas doesn't necessarily have a military strategy as they do a media strategy. Mm-hmm. And you're seeing that continual perspective of Israel being said loud enough and long enough. And it's just people are beginning to hear it and believe it and then repeat it over themselves and over a next generation, that it's just continuing. And it's just like, that's the thing that you have to pay attention to, is the perspective of Israel that's being shared over the whole world instead of seeking the truth of what does Israel really stand for.
Yeah, I mean, and it's amazing. They'll take one lie, continue to tell it over and over and over again.
Right.
There's a book called Hitler's Beneficiaries. And it was written about, you know, how is it that Hitler, when you think about it, he killed 6 million Jews. Mm-hmm. He didn't personally kill all 6 million of them, right? So how was he able to get the buy-in? I mean, someone had to help him, right? But, you know, how do you get the buy-in of all of these people to agree to such horrific, demonic thing, like capturing these people, locking them up in ghettos, putting them in trains, lying to them and saying, we're going to take you to these showers so you could take a bath because you've been on these trains. And when they go to turn on the shower, it's gas that's coming out and killing them.
Mm-hmm.
They're burning bodies in a furnace.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, he didn't do this by himself.
Mm-hmm.
And the book is called Hitler's Beneficiaries. And one of the things that's written in this book, he says that they were able to blame everything that was going bad in their country on the Jews.
On the Jews.
Mm-hmm.
They just put blame on it. And so people didn't want to take responsibility for what they did to bring their country down, or why they don't have, or any. It was easier to pick on the Jews. And so what was happening is that the Nazi party was showing up to people's homes and saying, hey, we just want to give you this nice China set. And by the way, this is courtesy of the Nazi party, you know, Hail Hitler. And by the way, we hate the Jews. And they walk on out. And then it's like, you know, 40-inch screen TV comes in, exaggeration, but all these, you know, furniture that was taken out of Jewish people's homes and was given to the Jews, and they turned a blind eye. And the author writes, hey, I realized that later on in my life, all these heirlooms that were passed down, this was furniture taken from the Jews. He wound up giving it away or sending it back, getting it to a Jewish family, saying, I can't take this. But he thought it was a family heirloom and realized that this was stolen property from the Jewish people. And it's amazing that if you just feed people and give them stuff, how they'll turn a blind eye to anything.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, hello, it's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
It's wrong. It's evil. And today you're seeing it all over. And that's why it's important that we talk about this, that we share about this, that we pray about this.
Mm-hmm.
Because believe me, the hatred towards the Jews is coming from everywhere. And it's going to require us as believers, as Christians, to stand firm, unwavering. I mean, today it's popular amongst the church, but there's going to be a day where it may not be as popular. And the question is, are you going to be able to stand during that time? If you can't stand now, believe me, you will not stand then. And first the Saturday people, don't forget, then the Sunday people, they're coming for Christians next. And we already see that happening with ISIS and what happened in Iraq. You know, children being beheaded, and that's just absolutely horrible. I want you to hear from Charles Kreitheimer is being interviewed by Judge Jeanine. Judge Jeanine, watch this.
This whole thing started with religion and the intolerance, and I want to kind of move to the Hamas-Israeli conflict. And what has gone on is very different in terms of European reaction and American reaction. On the one hand, you believe that what's going on in Europe is indicative of an anti-Semitic continent that has it out for the Jews, whereas in the United States it's more pro-Hamas. Explain what you mean by that.
Well, it's not an opinion. I mean, what I'm saying is a fairly good description of the demonstrations that occurred in London, in Paris, even in Berlin, of all places. Crowds chanting death to the Jews, Jews to the gas chamber, Hitler was right. That's pretty anti-Semitic. It is very clear that what's happening in these huge demonstrations in Europe, this intense animus, is a resurgence, a recurrence of anti-Semitism, which had been, after the Holocaust, for half a century, unfashionable. You weren't supposed to be anti-Semitic after what the Nazis did. But those generations are gone. We have a new generation now. And anti-Semitism is back in vogue, and you see it on the streets. In America, I think it's rather different. We don't have a tradition of anti-Semitism. This has been the most welcoming country to the Jewish people in the history of the Jews. And I think most of it is largely ignorance. People don't know the origin of the conflict. They're not aware of what Hamas intends, of what Hamas is, of what Hamas's tactics are. They see a picture or two on television. Their heart is broken, as everybody's heart should be when they see a dead child. They have no context, and they end up saying, well, it must be the Israeli aggressors. That is a far more benign reaction. It's also a far more minority reaction here than it is the anti-Israel, anti-Semitic wave sweeping Europe.
You know, it's amazing. It's exactly, I mean, think about it. America right now, and if you look at Congress, whenever Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu comes to speak before Congress, mm-hmm. I mean, he one time I think it was over 30 standing ovations, Steve, that he received every mm-hmm. time he yeah. comes. The American people love Israel. The church loves Israel, mm-hmm. and we're going to stand with Israel. There may be a few dissenters, and there's people out there that are still, you know, are haters, mm-hmm. but by and large, I mean, we stand with Israel, and we're going to continue to do that. More when we get right back from this break as we discuss what's happening with ISIS and how the church has been able to help out the refugees that were on Sinjar Mountain. More when we get right back from this break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Jesus said, "You know them by their fruit." That's the only way we can really tell who we really are. And then he even tells us, apart from abiding in him, we can't even bear that fruit. Listen to Francis Chan, the author of Crazy Love, and leader of and founder of Multiply Movement, share this exact thing. We are known by our fruit.
You know, the fruit will show. You know, if the tree's for real, it's going to bear fruit.
Yeah.
You'll see the action, but we want to make those statements, and we're not following up, and we're deceiving ourselves. I was thinking about this the other day, you know, how James talks about how we can be hearers of the word, but not doers. And so we're deceiving ourselves because we're listening and listening and amen, 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 but we're not doing it. Mm. And you know, Satan is the father of lies. He loves deception. Mm. He loves to deceive people. But I think in a lot of ways, he's very happy with what he sees in a lot of gatherings because they're like, I don't even need to work there. Mm. They're deceiving themselves. Mm-hmm. They're going there, you know, hearing a message, amening and not doing it. They're deceiving themselves. Mm. I think Satan's actually very pleased. I want to be careful with it. I mean, based on what I see in Scripture, I think there are times when he's pleased that the Word of God is preached and not obeyed, and that deception is going on, because that's his MO. That's what he loves to do. Mm. He loves to deceive. And so if there's a bunch of people thinking they're following God because they're going, oh, yeah, I heard a really tough message by David Platt the other day. You know, I heard this. I got so convicted, I walked away. I even walked away sad. Me and my friends, we even cried. You know, it's just like this, yes, we did it. And I really think the enemy is going, oh, this is great. This is great. They're not. When Jesus was about repent, like, let me see you turn. John the Baptist, repent. Let me see you turn. Peter, repent. You know, it's turn, turn, turn. And we're all about feel bad, make a grand statement. And I think Satan's actually pleased with that.
You're listening to Francis Chan, author of Crazy Love and Multiply Movement. You can find it at multiplymovement.com. Listen, you need to be fruitful. We are known by our fruit. It's going to be a fruit inspection time at the throne room of God, because it's not that we're not earning our salvation. The very fact that we are saved, we are fruitful. Listen, if you want to be fruitful today, begin to make this Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. If you haven't yet done that, go to meetmyfather.org, meetmyfather.org. We shared a couple of our stories and how to do that. Then begin to abide with him and be his disciple. And we have a plan for you, a simple plan for you right now, free. Just go and request it at iabide.org, iabide.org. Eternity weighs in the balance, your eternity.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos, and joining us back from the break is Pat and Steve, and we're talking about how anti-Semitism is on the rise in the world today. However, that the United States always has had a pretty close relationship with Israel. In recent times, it's been, you know, a certain administration right now that has been trying to push Israel over the edge, and we've talked extensively. Maybe we'll relate some of these segments on the torch to give more context, because we have a limited amount of time. But I'm even reminded of Chaim Solomon, who was helped finance, gave money to George Washington, I believe during the Battle of Yorktown, at a time that you know, George Washington really needed some money,
right?
And because he wanted a place for the Jews, and so they wanted to remember his contribution. And I believe it's on the back of a dollar bill. We're going to confirm this for you, have it for you. But the Star of David, if you look at the stars over the eagle, it's in the shape of the Star of David. And so it just goes way back, not to mention that in the National Archives, I mean, the very first thing you see in the National Archive is the bronze plated Ten Commandments. Hello, that Moses was able to get down from the mountain there. And so it's absolutely beautiful. But we support Israel. We stand for Israel. And we'll continue to do so. Do you have that?
I'm looking at it. I don't see it.
Well, we'll make sure it's available for you. It's there. It's on one of it's on the currency. We shared about it before. And we'll make sure that it's related. But it's a great story to show how far back we go back. And we're tight. And we're going to stay tight with Israel. But I want to share about what's happening with ISIS and how the church has been able to come on in and be able to rescue the refugees and giving them a place. CBN is reporting this. Understand that the tide has turned here quite a bit. The Kurds have been able to, in Iraq, take control of the Mosul Dam, the Mosul Dam there, because ISIS had it. And they were saying that if ISIS flooded that dam, it would affect all the way down to Baghdad. It was just, I mean, it's huge. I believe almost 500,000 people could have been killed in that process. And so now that's back in the hands of the Kurds. And you're going to hear about what some of the things that the church has been able to do to provide a safe place for the countless thousands of Christians and Yazidis that have been, you know, stuck on this mountain. Many of these children died of dehydration. Some of them lost their lives. And I want you to watch this and get encouragement.
A Kurdish church opens its doors to Iraqi Christians fleeing ISIS. Hello, everyone. I'm Wendy Griffith. George Thomas is on assignment. In northern Iraq, the scourge of ISIS has forced thousands of refugees into a life without homes, jobs, and even family. Many are Christians who tell tales of horror and brutality at the hands of the Jihad army. Now they face an uncertain future. But CBN's Chris Mitchell shows us how churches are helping fill that void with help and hope. Here's his report from Erbil, Kurdistan.
Over this past week, the army of ISIS swallowed up parts of Iraq like a darkness. In just one day, tens of thousands of Christians fled villages like Karakush and Bartila, just about 25 miles away. Most have come here to Erbil with nothing more than the clothes on their back.
They take everything from the house, from the store, everything. And they take like a machine, everything, because they are Christian. Just the name Christian. They hate Christian especially. We don't know why.
It was leave or die.
They say if anyone don't become like Muslim, we're gonna kill it. Kill it. Each one. From baby and the woman, one, old man.
We don't have anything here. They bombed the churches and already took our houses. We have nothing here. No money, no ID, no travel documents.
What's happening now to the Christians, to the Yazidis, to the minorities, and like in the last couple of days, to the, mostly to the Christians, is it's a genocide. What's happening is what happened 200 years ago with the Jews.
Dr. Ahmed hears stories of the barbarism of ISIS.
That ISIS was killing, shooting the kids and the people, and they are laying them on the ground, and they bring tractors that they walk over them in the front of their families. They take women out of their houses. So let's say every each family that they have three daughters, they would take one.
In the wake of the ISIS advance, thousands of ethnic Yazidis escaped to a mountain outside the town of Sinjar, while these Christians found shelter at this Catholic compound in Erbil. A few weeks ago, these families fled when ISIS cleansed Mosul of Christians. ISIS gave them an ultimatum.
They gave us four choices, either convert to Islam, or paying tax, or leaving the city, or the sword. They are using the sword to cut off hand and also beheading others. So I don't think this is the behavior of human beings, but wild animals do that.
ISIS looted their properties and left them destitute. They took this woman's dentures, wedding ring, and documents.
They took everything. We asked them, please give us something to show that we owned our car, our home. They said, here you have nothing.
ISIS searched the home of one Christian in Mosul and discovered these two New Testaments, one with a camouflage on the cover and the other with an American flag inside. They accused him of being both a missionary and a spy. ISIS put his name on a list. He told his story, but asked us to hide his identity.
Hey, stop. Get back. You are a Christian. The terrorist told me we will kill you.
Sometimes the pressure is overwhelming.
Jesus, save me. Oh, the terrorist. Forgive them. Forgive them. Because they didn't know. They didn't know what they were, what they act.
Even though these Christians are the original people of the region, many simply want to leave. They're pleading for the U.S., the U.N., and Pope Francis to help.
We are asking the responsible states of the international community to come and look and see how all the people are living here.
Where can you go when you've lost almost everything? Many of the churches in Erbil literally opened their doors for the many Christian refugees that fled the advance of ISIS. They simply feel that it's the church's calling to provide refuge for families like these. The Kurdsman Church transformed their building into a true sanctuary.
The building is for the humanity.
Pastor Majid Mohammed opened doors for both Christians and non-Christians.
We wanted to show those people, we don't care that they are Christians, Yazidis, Muslims, we don't care about that because they are human beings and they have been fired out, kicked out at their home by ISIS and the terrorist groups. So this is why we wanted to show them that as a Christians we love them and we are very glad to have them here and serve them.
This man led a mini exodus of several families to the Kurdsman Church.
On behalf of all the people right here, Pastor Majid is really showing the love of Jesus.
Across town at the Ankawa AOG Church, families who are now safe talked about the violent ultimatum they faced.
We have been told by ISIS, if we don't convert to Islam, either they will kill us or we will have to leave the city.
For most, it wasn't a choice at all.
We prefer to die rather than convert to Islam. God has created us as Christians, and we don't want to convert to Islam. The power of God keeps us and strengthens us to remain as Christians.
Most will never return, like this policeman, who escaped with his family and 10-day-old baby.
I am already wanted by the Islamic groups over there. And secondly, I am a Christian. As a minority, I am also wanted by ISIS, so we cannot go back there anymore.
Most told us they simply want to leave Iraq.
This is the only way or the only solution for our problem, because we cannot go back to our home and we cannot stay here. We want to go out. Even if they provided international protection, we don't want to keep staying here.
Their long-term fate remains one of the major questions in this humanitarian crisis. Chris Mitchell, CBN News, Erbil, Kurdistan.
Amazing. Absolutely beautiful. It's the church that was stepped up in there and helped all of these Christians and Muslims as well that were stranded on this mountain.
I don't care.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, I don't care who they are.
Yeah. He says, I don't care. Bring them all in here because we want to help them. And that's what it's all about. You know, to see people that left, had to leave their home, had to leave their way of life, had to leave their documents, their vehicles, everything. And they left with the clothes on their back. That one police officer had a child who was only 10 days old. Can you imagine? I mean, a baby that's come fresh out of the hospital, I mean, there's so much care and so much stuff that you want to do to protect the child from germs, and you Germex everybody and all these different things to keep, you know, the baby healthy. And here you have a 10-day-year-old baby that's been transported and moved across, you know, a country. And, you know, it just makes you think, man, God, you're just so amazing. And we're just so thankful for the church there that was able to provide all of the help for them. Also, too, you know, think about, you know, ISIS has been pushed back and now they're being dealt with. But there was a recent message that was being conveyed. And it's important that we get involved and that we pray and that we're watchful, because understand that, you know, the strategy for ISIS is once they deal with the Christians and the Jews, that they're ready to come after the United States. And in fact, they've already gave notice and said that we are in the United States. We are in your cities. And posted a picture in front of the White House saying, we're here. I want you to listen to this segment and see what's happening. And we're going to share this when we get back from the break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Are you or someone you know having difficulties hearing? If you answered yes, then maybe it's time to contact the professional staff at Ears to Hear Hearing Center, where they improve the quality of life for the hearing impaired and their families by testing and fitting and dispensing the best hearing aid for the patient's hearing loss, lifestyle, and budget. Three convenient locations on the Gulf Coast to serve your needs. Don't miss one more word. Call today and be on your way to enjoying the gift of hearing.
I mean, you can't be used now because you can't even talk. I mean, right?
Hey. Proof positive.
I mean, look at this. I mean, here are these Southerners on here. Yeah. I've never heard. I mean, John's obviously from the South.
Oh, yeah. No doubt.
No doubt.
Yeehaw.
Yeehaw. It says, like, Ush de la blu es español. How the sound country was?
All I did was a dobo to chicken.
Yeah.
He's like, that sounded accurate.
No, I didn't see it right in my head. Even though I did have some chicken this week, some chicken twice, three to four,
Whoa,
7 days.
Hey, chicken.
Yes. As Donna stood in line for me. We are getting to what we're going to cover today. We're going to be talking about Jerusalem and the unemployment rate that's and some different things happening. But
this line, yes.
She stood in this line. This little small. All you gotta do is get down. This is all you gotta do now. Get you a chicken fryer, put you a building around it.
Oh my!
And they will come. And the only thing they got this place called down south. It's called Church's Chicken.
Oh, they have them. Oh, wow.
Church's Chicken, and in that the It's basically a small building around a grease fryer. And there's nowhere to hardly stand in there. There's just a little room for the jalapeno pepper, a little room for the corn, which they now have healthy butter on it. So it's just like, it's just an artifact. And she stood there for the longest time.
Really?
Longest time to get me. She probably didn't want to cook. No, no, she did. And believe it or not, I ordered some chicken livers, some fried chicken livers.
Did you really?
I
did.
Yes, I did. And, you know, I didn't eat. It was just like, they were not good. My mind started thinking, no, it wasn't. It was awesome. Chicken ash.
Ooh.
It was burnt too much. They just cook. Somebody's been a new law about chicken livers. Now you got to cook them until they're actually don't hurt you.
Oh.
So anyway, while she was there, you know, this is actually in the region that just got hit by this huge prophetic storm that happened, biblical proportions, as they're saying. She's talking to a lady, and the place is packed. Mm. So if they'll tell you a successful business, people think it's pizza. Down south, it is a big grease fryer. Mm. It's something that you can dip your chicken in flour and just throw it in there. And they'll line up all day long for biscuits and chicken. They being us. And
well, you and John anyway.
You got to double dip it. You used to. We got pitchers.
Not anymore.
We got pitchers.
This is
the Chicken Man.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos, and joining us back from the break is Pat and Steve. We were talking about before the break how the church, Christians, were able to help non-Christians, Christians, Muslims, get off of that mountain and provided a place of sanctuary, a place of safety. And you heard from some of the Christians, they're saying, we can't go back. We're wanted people. They're going to kill us. And one lady said, it's the power of God that strengthens us to remain Christians. We will not deny our faith.
That's right.
And it's such a beautiful thing to know that people are staying and standing with Jesus. I mean, like Peter said, where else can I go?
Exactly.
But when you're facing death like that, not just threats, but when you have seen children be beheaded, when you've seen children die on a mountain, and people die on a mountain because of dehydration, causes you to really say, okay, what do I believe, and in whom do I believe?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it makes me think of a recent post that we had about Urban Kanner, and he was a Muslim, and he encountered the church, and he was just overtaken by how the church loved him. And he came to know the Lord because of that. And it's just so beautiful to see that the most powerful thing that we can do is love, regardless of what people's, you know, ideas are. And I love what that pastor said. It's like, we love people because they're human beings. Yeah. And it's just like, how beautiful is that?
Yeah, we want to show them the love of Christ.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, love is way stronger than hate, because love melts hearts. And that's what we need to be about, melting people's hearts. But we want to continue our coverage on ISIS and talk about what's happening with ISIS, because they've been dealt with and they're being dealt with right now. I mean, the Kurds have gotten some the upper hand here in terms of securing the dam, which was a huge thing, the Mosul Dam in Iraq, because they could have flooded it, ISIS could have, and it could have flooded all the way down to Baghdad, a major source of water. And so, you know, things are going back and forth, if you will. But they must be dealt with, because even right now, ISIS is saying, we are here in the United States. And they were so bold and brazen to send a picture on social media with the White House and a flag and a statement saying, we're here. And so we want you to see this segment so that you can be informed, so that you can know how to pray. And so now you can fit in context this discussion on the borders. Yeah, this is why this is important. We need to secure the borders. Watch this.
President Obama announced there will be no need for the United States to rescue stranded Yazidis from Iraq's Mount Sinjar. That's because few people are still there.
We broke the ISIL siege of Mount Sinjar. We helped vulnerable people reach safety. And we helped save many innocent lives.
But Yazidi leaders disagree, telling the New York Times the crisis isn't over. And despite President Obama's assurances, the United Nations says the situation is still dire.
The United Nations has declared a level 3 emergency for Iraq, the highest global humanitarian priority for the UN and partner agencies.
Meanwhile, Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki broke the political power struggle in Baghdad, saying he's stepping aside after 8 years as Prime Minister. Prime Minister-designate Haider al-Abadi now has less than 30 days to form a new government. Iraqi political analyst Karim Hassan Jaber says Maliki's replacement will need to correct past mistakes.
The new prime minister has two main tasks to achieve. The first is to fight terrorism, and the second is to fight the financial corruption which has prevailed in government institutions.
And the new prime minister will need to do more to stop the advance of the Islamic State in Iraq. U.S. intelligence officials warn that the Islamic State has now gained momentum. That will be difficult to halt in Iraq and Syria. And they say the Islamic terrorists intend to prove their power far beyond the Middle East. They warn the Islamic State may attempt a terrorist strike in Europe or the United States to assert itself as the true leader of the international jihadist movement. And the Islamic State is using social media to advance its in-your-face propaganda. This photo of an ISIS flag was taken in Washington, right in front of the White House. And there was a warning, we are in your state, we're in your cities, we are in your streets. Gary Lane, CBN News.
If you remember that here recently there was in New Jersey, the township, there was a township in New Jersey, I believe it was Winslow Township, in Camden County, where a man had the same flag, the same ISIS flag flown outside of his home. And he said that he was celebrating his religion, Islam, and then there was some Muslims that came out and said, oh, that has nothing to do with Islam. That has to do with jihad and ISIS.
Right.
And so you're seeing this. Listen, this is why this conversation on the border is so important.
Mm-hmm.
There are people that are here wanting to do us harm. When I lived in New Jersey, unbeknownst to me, that less than 7 minutes from where I lived, two young men were actually arrested because they were plotting some sort of attack on JFK Airport in New York. And they were 8 minutes from my house.
Wow.
And so they're all around. They're sleeper cells. And you just don't know. And so it's just important. And we don't say this to be alarmist. We just say so that we're not naive and that we're informed.
Mm-hmm.
We're living in a different day right now. And who would have thought that the United States could be attacked? Who would have thought that on 9/11... Two of our country's tallest buildings.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've been there. When my father worked for the in the World Trade Center for Sears and Lehman Brothers years ago, and as a young person, a teenager, I went with my dad to work, and
mm-hmm.
you just don't understand how big these buildings were. Mm-hmm. I mean, they were huge. I could remember he would be working, and I'd be riding the elevator all day. I was young, middle school. And these elevators, I mean, it's just, you go on for floors for days, up and down. And I'd go to the very top and I'd say, hey, I'll be back for a while. I'll come back. And I would go and explore the building. And I could be on the very top of the tower. And you can see that the tower sways back and forth. You could see the other tower moving. It was so tall. And although there was like off the wall, there was about, I don't know, maybe 5 feet. There was some sort of barrier up against the window.
Mm-hmm.
You still didn't even want to approach that close because you knew how high. You could see into New Jersey. I mean, it was just some of the most amazing views.
Right.
But to actually think that those buildings could be hit the way they were, mm-hmm. I mean, no one saw that coming. Mm-hmm. Very few people saw that coming. And so when you start talking about, people in our country now to do us harm, oh, that will never happen. Hello, that's what they said about the Twin Towers.
Mm-hmm.
It's important that we secure our borders. It's important that we get, we understand mm-hmm. what's happening and what's coming on in.
Yeah, and you think about it, I mean, in a recent program, we talked about the fact of just the whole situation about anti-Semitism. And there was a comment that was made that somebody had said, it's basically straight ignorance. It's the fact that we don't know the history. We don't know while these things are happening. And it's the same thing. Truth is, it's sad to think there are people that would want to do harm to America, but there is.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like to wake up and just see that and to see what's going on in the world. And that's why we talked about, and also in past programs, it's just like being a global citizen, understanding, or being a global Christian and understanding, it's just like there are people outside of the borders of America. There is life outside of the 300 million people that make up America. We make up 5% of the global population, and having an understanding and seeing what's going on a global scale. And it's just like, we need to wake up to what's happening, because if we don't, that ignorance is going to blind us. And then all of a sudden we're going to find out it's in our backyard.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And if you're a Christian and you're living in this country, you know, hey, let's try to hold on to the liberties and the freedoms that we have. We've discussed on the previous programs, a book that we're going through, Rediscovering God in America. And we're going to continue that in the next program. Mm-hmm. But you go back and you say, man, this is a great country that was founded with the intent for folks coming to find the land that they can mm-hmm. worship God. Actually, Jews and Christians both mm-hmm. came here so they can worship God freely. And it's a terrible thing to lose because of our ignorance, because of our apathy, because of our pride, and we don't think that things like this can happen. You know, we've talked about this extensively, that if we want to have we want as many people to come to our nation as possible. Listen, if you want to come, this is a blessed land, but that you have to become the right way. You got to become a citizen of the United States. You have to pledge allegiance to this country. And you don't want to bring in divisive things that are going to separate our country, much less war or anything else. Listen, we can stand against this, but, you know, divided we fall, together we stand. And we can stand for America, we can stand for the safety of our borders, and we can put an end to radical terrorists that are trying to destroy not only our country, but countries all around the world. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.
It is amazing how this is all working. It's people just like you, friends like you, that stand with us and understand, you know, we've got to make a difference in our generation, that stand with us prayerfully and financially, that just partner on a monthly basis to financially build a foundation that where we can carry this message not only to the nation of America, but to the nations of the world. It's amazing how so many people are being encouraged by a simple gift of a few dollars a month, $25 a month, $50 a month, whatever it is. And you know what? Together, if you're having difficulty in how to present the gospel to this generation, partner with us, and we together at VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program will bring the gospel to this nation and this nation by God's grace to the Lord. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. VFNTV.com and click on giving.
Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio.